Keep your heads up in prayer. Heavenly Father, indeed, we come today to celebrate Pentecost, often referred to as the birthday of the church, the sending of your Holy Spirit to be your abiding eternal presence with us. Father, for all that he is, for all that he does, we thank you today that he walks right beside us, that he helps us to keep our lives firmly planted and founded upon you and your word and your will for us. We do pray that the words of my mouth together with the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past Friday evening, Becca and I were at the other St. Paul. We were there for the retirement dinner of Father Michael Monroe, again, St. Paul's Episcopal, who this morning is preaching his final sermon there. At our table Friday evening, and since I could not get a hold of him later for permission to use his name, I can only tell you that another local pastor was telling us of his decision to enter into the ministry. I didn't catch the whole story, but I did catch the end, that he answered the call to be a pastor just after attending a Grateful Dead concert. Founder and leader of that psychedelic countercultural group, Jerry Garcia, died of a heart attack in a California drug treatment facility almost 23 years ago. His fans were then and still are today known as Deadheads. I found a few quotes from that day, August 9th, 1995. One fan said, "We just feel like it's the end of an era. We're not lost. Our life is not ending, but it was such a good thing." Someone else added, "I don't know how we're going to live without Jerry." Whether or not you knew Jerry Garcia and his music, whether or not you were a fan of his, most all of us know how it feels to say goodbye to a hero. Those of us who are the church can be especially sympathetic, for in a far more profound sense, we too have lost a loved one who has been the center of our lives, the source of our joy, the wellspring of our celebration. Each week, we gather in the name of a leader who is not here. And whether or not we realize it, our Christian faith is in many ways an attempt to answer the question, how are we going to live without Jesus? Now somebody will say, wait, Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. He's still present with us. He's still right here, present in our hearts. And that's a really cozy thing to say. And how dare we say it? The two things that we heard from our readings this morning remind us of the fundamental crisis of the church, the departure of Jesus. He is the source of our lives, like the wind beneath our wings, like the vine beneath so many branches. We did not choose Jesus, but he chose us and appointed us to be faithful followers. Yet he is gone. He is risen, the angel said. He is not here. Yeah, Easter faith is what we are left with to make sense of his absence. The New Testament writer who deals most with this is John. In the fourth gospel, Jesus is recorded speaking at length with his disciples before his death and resurrection. He washes their feet on his last night with them. He tells them that he is leaving them. He prays for them before he returns to the Father. Then comes the actual departure. Fred Craddock says in his commentary on John, "Before the departing Christ, the disciples had been as children playing on the floor, only to look up and see the parents putting on coats and hats. Their questions are three, and they have not changed. Where are you going? Can we go? No? Then who is going to stay with us? Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to the Father, and you will see me no longer." "Can we go?" He answers, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." "Then who will stay with us?" And Jesus says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf." How are we going to live without Jesus? The answer, according to Jesus through John, lies in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls him the Spirit of truth, the Advocate, the Paraclete. In the absence of Jesus, his presence draws near to his followers. If he had not left us, the Spirit would not have come. But since Jesus has departed once and for all, he can now come and dwell with us through the presence of another Advocate. Admittedly, this sounds a bit like double talk. It does so to a lot of people, both inside and outside the church. It is difficult to talk about the Holy Spirit. Outside the church, whenever people talk about a person's spirit continuing on, they usually point to the people who are left behind, who hold the same values as their loved one, as their hero, and who extend the impact of what that person did or said. Inside the church, we find it hard to talk about the Spirit of Jesus. It's easy to say Jesus has left us and the Spirit is here, but that doesn't necessarily mean we hold his values or extend his impact. We live in a world that ignores both its creator and its creatures. A world that peddles sound bites as declarations of fact. A world that deceitfully tells us that we can make ourselves righteous if we only keep trying harder. In short, our world hungers to know the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. We struggle in the church to wait for the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, who has many things to tell us that we cannot yet bear to hear. In my reading this week, I came across this thought-provoking nugget. Hell will be full of people who cling to a Bible they never think about, and heaven will be full of people who trust in a God they cannot see. Listen to it again. Hell will be full of people who cling to a Bible they never think about, and heaven will be full of people who trust in a God they cannot see. Christian faith is just that. Faith in Christ. We trust what we have heard Him say through the Scripture, yet remain open to hear Him still speak through His Holy Spirit. When all is said and done, we trust that God will sort everything out. For the primary role of the Spirit is to point to Jesus and to guide us to His truth. The Spirit of Christ will lead us into the life that Christ has come to give. The Spirit will teach us. The question is whether we are willing to learn. What is required is an openness to the Spirit. God is free to speak, even in words that are hard to hear. God is at work in the world, far beyond our capacity to begin to comprehend. Faith requires us to remain open to any act of God. And that, it seems to me, is how we live without Jesus. That is how we live by the Holy Spirit. Like the wind, the Spirit blows when and where He wills. We have no control over what God is doing in the world. But if we open our hearts to Him, the Spirit will, like a rushing wind, blow and propel us. And we'll find ourselves directed into the deep waters of His grace. It is difficult to trust God like that. Sometimes it's easier to look elsewhere for our security and hope. I must confess, that is where I was last weekend. When the news of Mr. Sato returning our call to us, that he would not be able to serve as our principal, when I got the email, and when I spoke with Stacy, that phone call brought us both near tears. I thought that I was able to hide some of that emotion from you last Sunday to point you to hope, but I found out from someone whom I deeply respect that I had failed. He told me that in all of his Sundays in the pew, from all of his interactions with me, he had never heard such a lack of hope or joy in my voice. I will admit to you that in all of this process, since the fall of 2014, placing our first calls in the winter and spring of 2015, I truly felt that the future ministry of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School and Stacy Sato was indeed a union forged in heaven. I had come to place a whole bunch of eggs in Stacy's basket. My prayers this week have focused on the divinity of the call, trusting that the Lord uses the human process that we've wrestled with for almost 4 years. Please hear me clearly. I have great respect for Stacy and his courage to follow what he feels is most certainly the leading of the Spirit. But I have a greater respect for the Spirit and His ongoing work in our lives. It was one of our last lessons in religion class, which reminded us that when we turn to the Lord in prayer, He always answers. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, wait. And other times, not no, but I have a better plan for you. And I shared those words with you last week. My go-to verse from Jeremiah 29. The Lord has plans for us that will prosper us and not harm us. Plans that give us hope for the future. And even though I spoke those words, I had lost sight of that promise last weekend. And then it hit me. Psalm 146. Don't put your trust in princes, each a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs and he returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The next commissioned minister we call to serve as principal is not to be our hope. Our hope is to be in the Lord our God. His spirit does not depart. He is our eternal, everlasting, always abiding hope. In the past 8 days, he has said to us, as only a paraclete can, I have a better plan for you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we continue to look to the future. Indeed, that's where you pointed us. At the ascension, at your departure, you instructed your church to go and to tell others all about you. In Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We have a mission. And we have one who walks along right beside us, helping us to dig in deep, to have sure footing as we carry your good news to all the world. Father, we do that in a variety of ways, but certainly we do that through our school. And Father, we end a school year with the uncertainty of exactly how the new one will soon begin. Except that we know that we have the assurance of the presence of your Spirit guiding and directing, leading us. We have the assurance that you are with us, that you have plans for us, even something better. Your answer is not no. Sometimes yes, sometimes wait. Sometimes we wait knowing that you have a better plan for us. By your Spirit, by the Paraclete who is always beside us, help us to trust in your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. We continue our worship, professing our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. You'll find those words on the screen. Those words actually come to us